So, tonight, very, very interesting passage. I'll give you a bit of trivia. The word unholy is in the Old Testament one time. And that's in our passage tonight. So that's an interesting thought, isn't it? It must be an important concept. So verse 8 is where we'll begin. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So tonight we talk about wine nor strong drink. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Use your word in our hearts to teach us from your word. And I pray the Holy Spirit would guide us in your truth. And Lord, that we'd be faithful to thy word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of interesting things. This is the only time that God spoke in Leviticus that God spoke directly to Aaron. Every other time God spoke to Moses. But in this case, he spoke directly to Aaron, Moses' brother, who was in the head, if you will, of the priesthood. He and his sons and descendants would be the priests. Aaron, of course, his role was the high priest, the one who was allowed into the tabernacle to make offerings on behalf of the people. And God, when he spoke to Aaron, it was all about alcohol, wasn't it? When you do perform your duties as the high priest of the Lord, you're not allowed, you or your sons, to drink wine nor strong drink at all. And if you do, verse 9, you will die. I will kill you. So it's a pretty big deal. God says right up front, if you drink any alcohol, I will kill you. And this shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. So, to start with, yes, it's the law. Yes, it's Leviticus. Yes, it's Israel. But, as I mentioned, the word unholy is only in the Old Testament one time, and that's in verse 10. And God says, I want there to be a difference. That's an important word there, isn't there? A difference between holy and unholy. Now, holiness, of course, as we understand, is the primary attribute of Almighty God in the Scriptures. It's over 600 times it's in the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's turn there quickly, there is a passage about holiness that is very important for us as God's children. 1 Peter 1:15, it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, there where it says, because it is written, it is quoting Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, where God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So Peter is quoting Leviticus to us as Christians, saying, be holy, because God is holy. And God is speaking to Aaron as the high priest, saying, I want there to be a difference throughout your generations forever between holy and unholy. Those two words only occur together once, and that's in this passage. The word unholy is only in the New Testament three times, and it's mostly talking about the end times, how men would be unholy. So it's something I think we should take note of tonight when we think about holiness, God's holiness, the number one theme of Scripture. It'll be the theme in heaven. Amen. We know that from when Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven. We see the seraphims around the throne, and what were they saying? Holy, 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 in Isaiah chapter 6. Revelation chapter 4, we see the 24 elders around the throne, and what are they singing about? God's holiness. If you look at Psalm 99, verse 3, we'll be reminded that this should impact us as followers of God, that He is a holy God. Psalm 99, verse 3, notice what it says. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. So even the name of God, as we see here in Scripture, is holy. In the New Testament, Jesus is often referred to as the Holy One. And of course, the third person of the Trinity, His name is Holy Ghost. Holy is part of His name to remind us about the holiness of Almighty God. While you're at Psalm 99, look at verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. It should drive us to worship. We need to remember that His name is terrible. It is holy. And that God is holy, and that we will sing about His holiness in heaven. These are good things for us to remember. Remember when God met Moses in the burning bush. What did He say? The ground, take off your shoes, because the ground that you're standing on is holy. What made it holy? The presence of God. So knowing all that, I think we can derive a principle from this passage tonight. We are not the Aaronic priesthood, but we are priests. The Bible tells us we are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Turn there. We are priests, and we are commanded as not only priests, but as God's children, to be holy. And only one time in the Old Testament does God contrast holy and unholy. Now, He does a lot of contrasting between clean and unclean. Animals, foods. He spends a lot of time doing that in the following chapters of Leviticus. But never does He use this word holy and unholy again. Only in talking about alcohol. Notice, where did I have you turn? 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You and I are a royal priesthood. And then look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and we'll see this again. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and what? Priests. God hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. He's talking to Christians there and says He's made us kings and priests. So we are priests. We are not the high priest, but we are priests. And every time we get on our knees and pray one for another, we are executing our office. We are praying on behalf of someone else. We're beseeching the throne of a holy God on behalf of someone else as a priest. So as priests and as followers of the Lord, God commands us to be holy. And in this passage, He gives us a contrast between holy and unholy. And that contrast for Aaron and his descendants forever was no alcohol. Now, I know there's going to be people that say, yeah, but I'm still going to drink because I'm under grace. And, you know, that's between you and God. But we have a lot of warnings in the Scripture about alcohol. Not just one or two, but heaps. Well, they were put in there for a reason. You know, when you think even about Old Testament saints, how many of them had a blessing of God on their lives because of drinking alcohol? Yep, that's the answer, zero. How many of them got into trouble because of alcohol? Starting way back with Noah. A very righteous man, the most righteous man at that point that God spared, he and his family. And then what happened? But after the flood was gone, he got drunk and then got naked in his tent. And things got out of hand. Then Lot, rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. And what do his daughters do but get him drunk and commit incest? And it was wine. Amnon was murdered because he was drunk. So There are no examples of God's blessing upon people drinking alcohol, but there's certainly examples of people getting into trouble. And then we get to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Let's go to chapter 20, verse 1. And Solomon gives us plenty of warnings about the dangers of alcohol. And yet, here we are 2,000 years later, our entire culture runs on alcohol, doesn't it? It's just all about the booze. Notice Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Go to chapter 23, verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And then chapter down in verse 29 of chapter 23. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Look at this last phrase. I will seek it yet again. Is that not a good description of wine bibbers? Yes, I got drunk, and yes, I did a lot of stupid things, and I'm going to go do it again. That's what it says. I will seek it yet again. Look at Isaiah 19:14. These are principles, if you will, from God. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. That's in God's word. A drunken man staggering in his vomit. Isaiah 28 and verse 7. It says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. Hold on. Wasn't the priest told they were never, ever allowed to partake in alcohol? They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Joel chapter 3. Let's look at one more in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 3, Daniel, Hosea, Joel chapter 3, verse 3. It says, Joel 3:3, and they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot and a girl, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. How sad is that verse? Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. So there are a few verses in the Bible about alcohol, aren't there? 1 Thessalonians 5, 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. But they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So let's go back to our passage there in Leviticus 10. What we have found is that the Lord is speaking to the high priest Aaron directly. He's not speaking through Moses. He's speaking directly to Aaron. And he says, Aaron, I want to give you a law, a precept that is going to carry on forever for you and your sons, because I want there to be a difference between the holy and the unholy. Only time those two words are together in the entire Bible, and that is, do not drink wine nor strong drink. So if that's the difference between holy and unholy, and we're commanded to be holy, that's not really complicated, is it? But he says, why is this my rule, verse 11, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes? Because you're not only my priests, but you're also the ones in the future that are going to be teaching the people the Word of God. And I want you to maintain a standard of holiness because of your testimony. Therefore, no wine, no strong drink, that you might be holy, because I'm holy. So it's a very beautiful truth. Yes, it's from Leviticus. Yes, it's to Aaron and his sons. But if drinking was unholy then, it's still unholy now. There's no other unholiness in the entire Old Testament. And if God was holy then, God is holy now. Amen? And if he's saying, this is my separation point between holiness and unholiness, whether or not you choose to drink wine or strong drink, that hasn't changed. That's just a principle that we can draw from, that it's still unholy. Now, I hear people say it all the time, oh yeah, but I just have a couple beers or a little bit of wine. That's between you and God. But why not err on the side of caution? If God says it's unholy, why would you want to partake that badly? Why is it that important to you to drink that expensive stuff, to get the buzz, when God had gave us all these warnings about its dangers? Why not just say, you know what? I'm God's child. I'm going to stay away from it. That's not really that hard to think that through, is it? So, you know, I think it's good for us to catch this little trivia point that unholy is in the Old Testament one time. And God chose alcohol as the contrast between holy and unholy. Because God knows man. We mess everything up. And man had been drinking long before this verse came along, hadn't he? I mean, Noah was before this. Lot was before this. And look at the trouble they got into because of wine. And many others in the Bible that we didn't mention. We don't have one example of God saying, good on you having that little drink. It's just not in the scriptures, is it? But we do have God telling us, I want there to be a difference. Amen? That's an important word there in Leviticus 10:10. That you may show a difference between holy and unholy. And here's my statute, guys. Here's the difference. No booze. Amen? No wine. No strong drink. The difference between holy and unholy. So we can take that to the bank, as they say. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have made us priests unto yourself, that you've given us the privilege of beseeching your throne on behalf of our family and friends and the lost. Thank you, Lord, that you have called upon us to follow in your example of holiness. And may that be something we strive for every day, that we might be holy because you are holy. And when we fail, when we stumble, that we get it sorted through confession, but that it would be our desire to walk a holy life. And Lord, I pray that would be in every aspect of our lives. So thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.